Hello, everybody. This is Josh Price, and you are listening to the Mark Price for Three podcast. Each episode, my dad will be talking NBA basketball, sharing some coaching and instruction, and of course, talking about his faith. Without further delay, here's my dad, Mark Price.
Welcome back to the Mark Price for Three podcast, episode 72 today. Today, we're going to talk about the Cavs. It's March Madness. We're going to talk a little bit about joy. Mark, how are you?
Well, I would like to say I'm doing great, Aaron, but I've been fighting off some kind of cold cough thing now for going on about a week. So my voice doesn't sound great. Not that it sounds great anyway all the time, but it doesn't sound great today. It's for all the listeners out there. Hopefully I can get through without having too many terrible coughing attacks. It's been kind of a crazy deal.
Well, we're glad you're feeling a little bit better. It seems to be going around for those that have listened to this podcast long enough. They've heard me going through that same, I think so. But we are glad you're feeling a little bit better. Let's talk Cavs. Let's not spend a lot of time on the Cavs because it's kind of frustrating right now. Just not sure what's going on. A lot of guys hurt. And I feel like we've just had repeat every week, the same thing. If they could just get healthy, you know, get that chemistry. Yeah, I mean, they're still in that third spot, I think, in the East. But the Knicks are closing in and the Bucks are pulling away, which is concerning. What are your thoughts on the Cavs right now?
Yeah, I think it's just a struggle right now for them health-wise, guys in and out of the lineup. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, since the All-Star break, has been, you know, we thought get healthy, comes back, and then looks like he re-aggravated whatever it was he had. And it's not a good sign right now for the momentum heading into the playoffs. But, you know, things can happen and change quickly. Hopefully the Cavs can somehow get healthy and kind of get a rhythm going again. But right now they seem a little bit like they're in survival mode. Fortunately, they've positioned themselves well enough where they can still finish in a good spot. But, you know, we both know, and our listeners know, you know, going into the playoffs, you want to be kind of grooving. And right now they're just kind of struggling through. So yeah, hopefully not a lot to talk about at the moment. They've been struggling, but you know, as we go into all this March Madness stuff today, we'll probably have to circle back next week to the Cavs and kind of see where they're at and gauge their temperature.
Here's a question for you, Mark. In general, in your career, in your experience in basketball, have you ever been able to just turn it on? Like, can a team actually do that? I know this is probably a all day long discussion on sports talk, but do you think this team has the ability to get everybody healthy and turn it on just in time? I mean, it's the sand is running through the hourglass.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't quite know the answer to that question, Aaron. And even as a former player, I never felt like, you know, you can just all of a sudden not be playing well and just say, okay, guys, today we're going to start playing well. I don't think there's a magic formula to that other than, you know, you're just playing and all of a sudden it starts grooving for you and then you start playing well. But, you know, what's going to be that trigger for the Cavs right now? I don't know. Everybody's hoping it's health.
Yeah.
But even getting everybody healthy, we've talked to the point that they just haven't played many games together as a group, their main guys. And so can they turn it on? I don't know. I think that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it will. And so we're going to transition to March Madness today. And two prime examples, and of course, I always talk North Carolina, but 2 years ago, a team that was not good. I mean, you watched them as well. That team was not good. And somehow they got a little bit hot in the ACC tournament. They got in the March Madness, which we're going to talk about, and they ran all the way to the championship game. So it can be done. You know what I mean? Chemistry, and because they had bad chemistry all year. Let's talk about NC State. So we'll get into the March Madness stuff now. NC State just ran the table in the ACC tournament, got the title.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like so it can be done. We just witnessed it over the weekend in a couple of different conference tournaments, but I don't know at the NBA level, and I know we're mixing two things at the moment, but it can be done. We've seen it done in sports. It's just, I don't think you want to bank on that.
Well, it's, I think it's a momentum thing. And, you know, there were some great stories, you know, during the conference tournaments leading up to Selection Sunday yesterday But, you know, NC State, and of course, neither one of us are big NC State fans. You're a Carolina guy, I'm a Georgia Tech guy. You know, NC State's a rival for both of our schools. But, man, you just got to admire what those guys did. That's 5 games in 5 days. I mean, talking, you know, people want to complain about, you know, back-to-back games or 5 games in 7 days at the NBA level, but five for anybody that's ever played, you know, and I can speak as a player, I just remember how exhausting having to win 3 in a row was in the ACC tournament, you know, then to have to play another one, a fourth and then a fifth, you could just see the NC State guys toward the end of that game. I mean, they were cramping up. Every time there was a break, they were just bent over and gasping and, you know, just the will, just seeing in their faces how much they wanted that to accomplish that. And they were just, you know, driving through and they got it done. It was amazing. You got to give them their props. I mean, right. It was something. And then you look back and they had lost their last 4 regular season games.
That's right.
So to your point, you know, sometimes momentum just takes one win, right?
Yep.
So they win that first game and they feel a little bit better about themselves. And then they win the second game. Okay. And now all of a sudden they're in playing with the big boys and then they knock off somebody and then now they got 3 wins. And so it just kind of starts rolling like that. And sometimes all it takes is one win, right?
Yep.
And you can all of a sudden start feeling a bit better about yourself, But yeah, that was an amazing run and never been done in the ACC. I think maybe was it UConn with Kimball Walker?
Yep.
Did it with the Big East way back when. And I mean, that's just, you just don't see those kind of things very often.
And that UConn team went on to win the whole thing. I mean, that's what's even more incredible was that UConn team went on to win the whole tournament, I think. And that was back when the Big East was really a gauntlet. Unbelievable. And I actually like that one a little bit more because it wasn't NC State. So, but I mean, if you take the NC State off that jersey and they weren't playing against my Tar Heels, it would have been even more special. But at the end of the day, I have to respect what they did. It was incredible. Like you said, they were losing guys left and right to cramping, foul trouble. They were up against every adversity. And that's what I love so much about the college game is, man, the storylines are just so awesome. And that was an awesome game, even for NC State. And coach, hey, their coach was on the hot seat going into it and came out pretty good. From what I read, he got a contract extension because of how his contract was written for winning the ACC tournament. So talk about a rags to riches story in about, you know, 5 days. And they knocked off Duke and Carolina. So it's not like they just had a couple of easy games or the tournament fell their way. They had to go through, to your point, the big boys to get there, and they did. And so, yeah, any NC State fan that may be listening, congrats. That's an awesome accomplishment. I worry about them in the first round. Speaking of brackets, I do worry about them because I'm just not sure how much they'll have left. I think they exhausted it all, and for good reason.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of how they do it in the tournament, it's just for them to get there was amazing. You know, to go from a high, super high story like that, another story over the weekend was in a little bit local flavor to the Ohio folks in our audience, Kent State Akron game.
Yeah.
The finish of the game was just devastating, right? For Kent State, you know, hits the go ahead bucket and then a guy fouls on purpose, not knowing for some reason that they took the lead or who knows what the real story is. But man, you could just see that on the coach's face is all the other, man, what a devastating way to lose when your team had a chance to be in the NCAA tournament. And yeah, those kind are going to be tough to get over. I hope. And the coach handled it with unbelievable class, didn't blame the player, but it's going to take a lot of building up for that young man because I know, you know, played at that level and having lost a game that you kind of think is your fault and not playing well. Those are tough to get over as a young person. And I hope people will remember that, you know, cause it's so easy when you read Twitter, people jump on, you know, people blame kids that this is a young man that made a mistake and albeit it was a big one and it cost, cost his team a chance to the tournament. But man, you know, I hope people will put their arms around that kid and, you know, help try to build him back up, because that was just tough. That was tough.
I was at work yesterday and somebody was like, hey, did you see the end of that game? And I said, no. And they handed me their phone and showed me the end. And I'm like, oh, it's just brutal. And I told the guy, I said, this is unfortunately for that kid. It's his Chris Webber moment. And the fact that I just said Chris Webber moment, everybody already knows what I'm talking about. I mean, Chris Webber had an amazing career. He went to the NBA. He did amazing things in the NBA. But everybody remembers that one moment. And so to your point, man, yeah. And that wasn't even in a social media world when that happened to Webber and he called a timeout that they didn't have. And gosh, it goes back to that was when he was at Michigan. And so that's the moments of March that are so amazingly incredible and so heartbreaking, you know? Yeah. And I hope people are kind because it just happened. I'm sure in the heat of the moment, he didn't even realize. And there's no way he went out there to do that intentionally. And so people need to keep it in mind that these are, imagine if that was your son. That's the best thing I could say. If that was your son, how would you approach it and do the same for this kid, especially online, you know? But wow, what a razor thin margin March is between high and low.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Another feel good story, Ohio State.
That's right.
They're not going to playing in the dance, but everybody knows about, you know, the head coach getting fired, young man, Jake Diebler taking over, and then all of a sudden turning around and just winning games all the way to the end. They got beat out in the tournament, but they gave him the head coaching position. You know, they took the interim tag off, and all I got to say is good for Ohio State for doing the right thing. I mean, that young man obviously was handed a bad, you know, basically, you know, they were expected to just kind of end, finish the season on a bad note. And he turned that thing around quickly and those players played hard for him. And that was just, you know, a lot of times that'll happen and they'll still not hire the guy and go out and try to hire a name person to bring in. But, you know, in my opinion, good on Ohio State for doing the right thing and giving this guy a shot.
100%. And so I'm going to throw it out there to anybody that listens that may have a connection. I do have a few myself. I do not know Jake, but Mark and I are fans and we want to talk to Jake. We want to have him on the Mark Price for Three podcast to just talk about his faith journey, but also this incredible run that he's been on. And my thing, I'm not an Ohio State fan, as you know, I live here, but I do watch, right? And what I've seen is those guys bought in. I think you said that as well. He unlocked the kids that weren't playing, the freshmen, this freshman class that was very decorated and people were very excited about, he found a way to somehow unlock something in those kids that they played really hard for him towards the end. And man, here's the thing, we're talking March Madness. How did Michigan State make it with a record that's very similar? And Ohio State didn't, regardless of how they did in the Big Ten tournament, their records are very close. And Ohio State beat Michigan State in Michigan State. And yet didn't make the tournament. And that's, again, you know, you almost wish you could have 100 teams, and I'm not here for that discussion, but you know what I mean? That's a close one. And so shout out to Jake. That was incredible. And Jake, we have an open invitation for you if you ever want to come on.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
Mark, what did you think about the seeding? That was one thing on Selection Sunday. There was a lot of people talking about net rankings and all these other things that are out there, Joe Lunardi, and you got Ken Palm, and there's just all this analytics now. What did you think about seeding itself?
Well, you know, I got to be honest. I've looked through the stuff quickly, and I watched the seeding, and I've gone through it. You know, one conference in particular, I guess, got a lot of people in, and that's the Mountain West Conference.
Right.
But all of their seeds were pretty high. I mean, high in that, like 10 or, you know, 10 or higher. And so a lot of questions there. The Big East, which has been a very good conference, only got 3 teams in. And, you know, I haven't seen all the teams in and in the big conferences, but I think one of my problems with it, and there'll be a conference. Let's take the Big 12. How many did they get in? Like 8, something like that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, if you look at those records, probably two of those teams, I could be wrong, and Oklahoma was even being considered. Oklahoma didn't get in, which in my opinion is a good call, even though I'm an Oklahoma guy, because they had a losing conference record. And I think two of the Big 12 teams, two or three of them, just had 500 records in their conference. And to me, and I mean, you can, you know, argue all this stuff, net ranking, all the other stuff. But like, if you can only win half of your conference games, you know, do you belong in a chance at being in the big dance?
Yeah.
And I mean, I take a team and I followed them a little bit because the coach at South Florida this year, you know, came from Kennesaw State. And so I followed him when he was in Georgia, you know, last year. And the best season South Florida's ever had. They were number one in the American Conference all year long, and they were a top 25 team, and they lost in their tournament, and they didn't get in. And I'm just like, so you're telling me a team that was the number one team in their conference all year long doesn't get in, but the eighth best team in the Big 12 gets in? And I don't know. There's just something for me as a, I don't know, call it purist or whatever, and I'm not into this conference is that much better than that conference.
Right.
And all this, I get it. You know, I get that. But there's just something that's not right about some of that. I mean, these teams that have literally, and I've said this for years, you know, my opinion is if you win your regular season conference, if you're the number one team and then you should get in.
Yep.
You know, yep. Now play the tournament, and that puts more teams in, and maybe that same team wins or whatever. But why does a team, to me, that has played a whole season and been the best team in their conference not get to go represent their conference? Because they have one bad day in a conference tournament. You know, that's my opinion. I know a lot of people will disagree on that, but I'm just a big believer. I mean, if you've played 20-something games and proven you're the best team in your conference, you know, you deserve to go represent your conference in the tournament, you know. And then if you still want to do a conference tournament, that'll get you another team that gets a chance to get in. And that takes it away. I think it takes it away a little from these committees that get to pick and choose the at-large teams. Now they're only getting to pick maybe 20 teams or whatever. And so it takes it out of their hands a little bit more, which I like, because I'd rather it be decided teams getting in that have deserved to be in on the court.
I really like what you just said. I really do. I've never thought of it that way, but you're right. If you win your conference, you should absolutely get an automatic bid into the chance to play for even more.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, to me, if I'm a conference, no matter what conference you're in, if I'm the American Conference, and you know you're probably only going to get two at best, maybe teams in the tournament anyway.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't you want your best team representing your conference?
Right.
That, you know what I'm saying?
100%.
Like, I mean, South Florida was like 20. I mean, they lost like one conference game all season, something like that. I mean, it was unbelievable. And it wasn't like, you know, the Americans, the ACC, but it's not like, I mean, they got Memphis in there and SMU and I mean, it's not an easy conference by any means. And they dominated it. And yet they're sitting at home and not getting to go play in the tournament because they had one bad game in the conference tournament. And to me, that's just not the way I would like to see things done. You know, I think teams should be rewarded for, you know, the conference is, you can play as many, you know, to me, that go play like big time teams out of conference and, you know, get some publicity for your school and things like that. But ultimately, a coach's job at whatever school he's at is to try to win his conference, right?
Right.
And the conference to me should reward the winner of the regular season, and then have your tournament, and maybe you get another, you know, bid because of that. And so that's how I would reevaluate it if I was doing it, but no one's called me and asked my opinion.
Nobody's called me either. It's strangely on my phone. I sat by it last night and nobody called. I don't understand how a team like UConn gets the number one overall seed, number one seed, and has arguably the toughest bracket to get to the championship. Back to kind of a lot of what we're talking about, those kids earned the number one seed and have pretty much been, you know, a couple of bad nights, like you said. But at the end of the day, they've been great since the beginning of the season. And in a very volatile top 25, they've always kind of been up at the top, and somehow they got rewarded with the toughest bracket. And I'm saying this as a Carolina fan who got the fourth number one seed. They should, in my opinion, have the toughest bracket if you're going to be a one seed, right?
Yeah, but to me, if you're smart doing it, you want your best teams playing each other in the final four,
or right.
Lead. I dealt with that as a player. My junior year, we had our best team ever. We won the ACC, and back then, the ACC and the Big East were the two best conferences by far. And you had the mighty Georgetown team.
Yep.
And we were the number one team coming out of the ACC that year. They put us in the same bracket. So our game was the Elite Eight game, which Georgetown, beat us in. That game could have easily been the national championship game.
Yep.
Which I believe would have been the case if we'd have been in a different bracket. But I mean, you can always talk about these things, but that's
sure.
That goes to your point. To me, that's a miss, because you got your two best teams having them play in the Elite Eight, which is okay, but it's not like playing for the national champion. You know what I mean? So anyway, I digress, but let's get into some of the things. What are some matchups, early matchups? Did you see any that you thought were particularly interesting?
The JMU Wisconsin one. I know this is probably a popular pick, but we always look at 5 and 12, right? That's the one that seems to always be the Cinderella team. I got to go JMU, Wisconsin. I got to go JMU. I think they're one of the hottest teams in the country. I think they're really, really good. And Wisconsin's coming off of physical Big Ten.
That's an interesting pick for sure.
It's a big one.
I have not seen JMU play, so it's hard for me to. I mean, they've obviously had a great season, but I think that could be interesting for sure. Wisconsin's always been one of those teams that you think they're going to be good and go a long way, but they seem to trip up early at times. We'll see if this year's different for them. One game for me, staying in kind of that East bracket, an early game is Clemson, New Mexico. Yeah. Clemson, New Mexico, the 6-11 game. Clemson obviously had a good, solid season in the ACC this year. But New Mexico is one of those teams that's kind of on fire, going into the tournament. They won the Mountain West, which was a very good conference this year. And so, Richard Pitino, Rick Pitino's son's the coach there. He's got that group. Jamal Mashburn plays for them as well.
How about that?
Eddie House's son plays for New Mexico. They got a lot of storylines going on with New Mexico. That Clemson, New Mexico is an interesting game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people are discounting BYU because we're just not familiar. I feel like BYU is somebody that a lot of people are probably not paying a lot of attention to, but from what I understood, they can really shoot it. I don't know. I haven't watched them play, but they can shoot it. And so that's a team that my concern in the tournament, you can probably speak to this. Any team that lives and dies by the three dies in the tournament. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that tended to be the case, because you got to win six games. It's going to be one game you don't shoot well, right?
Right. And the legs go, right?
Yeah. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You got to have shooters for sure. But if that's all you rely on, you're not getting anything on the inside. I think ultimately those teams struggle the farther the tournament goes along. But to your point early on, you talked about UConn tough bracket. You, which in my opinion is kind of underperformed. I think a lot of people feel like that 8 seed might be a little high. I think that's a tough matchup for them in the first round myself with Northwestern. Is a big, physical Big Ten team. And, for some reason, FAU's won a lot of games and everything, but they, are they as good? They're not the Cinderella anymore because people know about them. It'll be interesting to see. San Diego State, it's your typical San Diego State team, physical, athletic. But still, I think at the end of the day, UConn gets out of that bracket.
Yeah, I do too. I worry about Mississippi State could put it on you pretty quick, which is funny because Michigan State's going to be physical. We know it's not going to be a high-scoring game. But people are saying, hey, that Mississippi State, Carolina should advance. Obviously, 1 versus 16. Virginia didn't do it once, so we know it's possible. But a lot of people are talking about that Mississippi State team as a really dangerous, scary team because they can put up points in a hurry.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. They very physical team. I watched them play a couple games in that against Auburn in the SEC tournament, and that was Mississippi State's every bit a Big Ten type kind of physicality. I mean, they're big, they're huge, they're physical. Yeah, it could not be a lot of scoring going on in that game. Well, you know, I hope they have a few stretchers available. A lot of banging going on in that game for sure.
So it's going to be like late 80s, early 90s basketball, it sounds like.
Yeah, for like sure.
Back when defense was played. Grand Canyon is another team that I heard last night that could be I don't know. We'll see. People were saying don't sleep on Grand Canyon.
Yeah, Bryce Drew. I know Bryce, a friend of mine, actually played with my brother a little bit. The NBA comes from that coaching, you know, Drew, you know, his brother's the coach at Baylor. And, you know, he's done a great job at Grand Canyon. That's a fun place to play a game. I think they got a tough draw. I think if they play somebody else, St. Mary's, man, St. Mary's is good.
Yeah.
I watched them play. They've beaten Gonzaga, you know, several times this year. They're solid. They got all those kids from Australia on the team. That could be a very interesting, exciting game to watch. But yeah, I think that's a toss-up to me in a lot of ways, that game. Grand Canyon's good, but St. Mary's is very good also.
All right. We will continue to unpack this. Do we want to unveil our Final Four, or we just want to let this thing play out?
I think we wait another week.
Okay.
So let's get through the first round, get to the second round, and then maybe we start, you know, predicting out what's going to happen, because let's just face it, man, all of our brackets are going to get blown up.
They'll be destroyed by next week. We'll be destroyed by next week. But if you did enter our challenge, know that your team will be mentioned. We will talk about you next week and who did well and who's not doing so well, unfortunately. And yeah, so we're going to just continue as we go along. And again, there is a big prize at the end for whoever wins our bracket challenge. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And so we're going to transition to Faith, if that's okay with you, Mark, in terms of the Faith segment here, because it is fun. This is fun. It's fun for us to sit around and argue about net rankings and who should have made it and who shouldn't. And, you know, on Thursday, it's going to be fun. For me personally, I get my four TVs out. I have set up my own like BW3 in my living room. It's a sickness. My wife just allows it. I have a special chair I sit in, which is my lucky chair. It's just fun. And, you know, it's fun as long as your team is in it. And if they win, and if your team isn't in it, that's fun too, because you get to cheer for all the ones that you want to upset somebody. There's a lot of joy that comes with the tournament and this time of year. You know, one of the fruits of the spirit is joy. It's Galatians 5:22. But sometimes this time of season breaks your heart. Like we talked about with Akron and Kent, it breaks your heart. It you know, there's life also has that, those moments. We've all made a mistake. Unfortunately, it wasn't, you know, for us, maybe fortunately or unfortunately, it wasn't on a main stage. We've done things in our life where it's just heartbreaking, and we've had moments, but one of the fruits of the spirit is joy. So I wanted to ask you today, how do we focus on joy? I know where we find our joy, but for those listening today, how do we just focus on joy and that fruit of the spirit?
Well, obviously being connected to the true source of joy is where our joy comes from. And that's obviously Jesus Christ. Scripture talks about that he is the vine and we are the branches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we're connected, when the branches are connected to the vine, they produce fruit, right? It just naturally flows out. And so, you know, joy and a lot of people get confused with being happy, happiness and joy. You know, happiness, you're going to see a lot of happiness this weekend, right?
Right.
I mean, teams that win are going to be happy. You're going to see sadness because teams are going to be sad because they lost, and fans and all of that. And so the happiness is, we know, temporary in our lives. Happiness comes and goes, but joy is something that God produces in our lives that we can, in the midst of loss or in the midst of, we can still have that joy. And it's inexpressible. It's not even understandable to us, really, how that can be and how God can give us that. And yet scripture makes it clear that we can, you know, count it all joy. You know, the apostle Paul talks about when you encounter various trials, you know, count it joy, you know, and so that's the challenge, but God's the one that provides it.
I think joy and contentment are very similar. Like, I'll be content in any circumstance. And I actually adopted that as my quote this year for 2024. I will be content in any circumstance. And that is hard when you talk about the challenge. Something tough happens in life. I try to tell myself I'll be content in any circumstance. Like, I'll have joy in this circumstance. Even if it's hard, I'm going to find a way to be content. Like, it's okay. It's okay. Cause you know what? At the end of the day, he's got it. God's got this. He's in control. I don't know. That's just the way that I kind of approach things, especially this year. I've challenged myself to approach them in that way, is I'm going to be content in any circumstance. And that is not easy. I'm not here to say it is. It's brutal, because there's times where I'm like, why did I challenge myself with that? But
right.
You know, like, seriously, I don't want to be content right now. I want to be mad. I want to be frustrated. I want to be angry. I want to shout at a cloud, but I'm going to be content in any circumstance.
Well, and I think that's, you know, we've talked about in the past of being intentional.
Yeah.
I always go back to my pastor when I was in college, and, you know, one of the many times I would talk to him or ask him questions, and he told me something very profound. You know, he says, if the decision hasn't already been made before you get in the car to go pick up a date or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, of how you were going to treat that person and in what was going to happen and all those things. He said, if the decision isn't already made, get in the car, that's when you get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be intentional. Like, you're being intentional by saying, I'm going to choose to be content,
mm-hmm.
knowing that everything's not going to always go my way. And I think that's, as believers, how, because your faith is in him. You know, I think that we talk about joy, but to me, there's a co-partner, you know, with joy, and that's peace, right?
Right.
If you don't have peace, I don't know that the joy is there either. You know what I'm saying? In a lot of ways. And that peace comes from what you said of saying, hey, God, you're God. I'm not. I'm going to trust you. I know you have a plan. And when you know that's when God can infuse that peace and joy in our lives, because we're not depending on our circumstances to make us happy or to, you know, but we're allowing God to create that in our lives and trusting in him, no matter what the circumstances that we're facing.
My pastor told me the other day, I can't, God can, I think I'll let him. It's kind of simple, but that's, you know, hey, you know, people will ask you, why, dude, how are you getting through that? Why are you so happy? I can't. God can, I think I'll let him. And it doesn't mean that everything's hearts and stars and rainbows and unicorns. It just means that I have a peace. And to your point, I have a joy. I think I'll let him, because he's a lot bigger than I am and he knows the bigger picture. It doesn't mean it's going to be great. It means sometimes I'm going to have to do my part too, like we've talked about before, but I'm going to be content in every circumstance.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, to me, what an awesome, I mean, What an awesome way to live. I mean, just to know, not that we don't have responsibility, like you said, to do our part in all this, but to just know that at the end of the day that God got me. You know, he's got me. He knows. He's going to direct my steps. I can't see what's around the corner, but he can. And why wouldn't I trust in that, I mean, instead of my own abilities or my own ignorance? Because we all know we're not capable, right?
Right.
And yet we still want to be the ones to get the credit, right? I think some at the end of the day, hey, I can do this. I'm strong. I can, you know what? And we all know how that ends. We've all tried that route and we've all failed, you know, so many times. And yet being willing to just trust God and to say, God, I know, and hey, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to follow your word. I'm going to try to trust you with this, but I'm giving it to you, God, because you got me and I can trust you. And man, that's where that peace really comes from and that joy. And then we can just enjoy, you know, our fellowship with God during those times.
That's right. This has been a longer episode today, but I'm thankful you're fighting through it.
I don't know. Yeah, I had a couple of coughing attacks, but I'm trying to get through it without too many today. But yeah, I mean, it was so, you know, we could have talked forever about basketball and we got so much to watch this week and look forward to getting back next week and start to fill in the brackets and see where everybody's at. But yeah, it's a fun time of year for basketball for sure. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs. Hope your team's in. I don't know how many people, you know, and who you're rooting for, but it's going to be an interesting, fun week starting Thursday. So,
that's right.
So yeah, the first weekend to me is the best.
Oh, right? It is the best. 100%.
I think it'd be interesting to see how many people miss work their Fridays of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. Because the games start about noon, right?
Right.
Around 12 o'clock. And I mean, yeah, you just want to turn on all the TVs or go somewhere where you can see multiple games going at one time. And yeah, it's a unique, and I mean, it's a great basketball time of the year. And it's particularly for college, it gets the center stage and everybody loves it. It's awesome. So I hope everybody has a good week pulling for their teams and we'll check in with, see how everything's going.
That's right. We will be back next week to talk about who did well, who did not. Well, we won't shame people. We'll talk about who did well next week on episode 73. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. But as we just said in the faith segment, find joy. Find joy in this season. It's so fun, especially if you're a basketball fan. This is just awesome. But beside this and the NBA Finals, this is awesome. So enjoy, you know, this week. Find joy in something outside of basketball. And be content in every circumstance. And thank you for listening. And for Mark, I'm Aaron. We'll be back next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Mark Price for Three podcast. Remember to subscribe, like, review, and share. I'm Josh Price, and we will talk to you again on the next episode.
You don't have to go very far looking for bad news because somehow it just finds you. So finding peace in the chaos can be really difficult, but it doesn't have to be because the River mobile app exists. The River is a Christian music radio station dedicated to playing music to help you get through life's toughest moments or life's happiest moments and everywhere in between, and all from artists who love Jesus and are real people just like you. Listening is easy. You can download it wherever you get apps from. Just search 1049 The River or listen online at riverradio.com.